And we've been on a series titled Sacred Relationships. It's all about relationships. How many know real life is about relationships? Amen? If you don't have relationships, you don't have a real life. No matter how much you have, no matter where you live, no matter how smart you are, if you don't have relationships, it's not real life. We have been called to live in relationships. And so we've been unpacking what the Bible says about relationships. And today we are going to be talking a most important relationship. We're talking about marriage today. Come on, somebody say, yay, man, let's talk about marriage. Hallelujah. You know, in America, well, actually around the globe, marriage has become so belittled and so dismissed in terms of how important it is. But I want you to know that marriage is vitally important to the world, okay? Because it's through marriage, God putting two people together, that is the building block of society itself. He started with a man and a woman, and he put them together. And can I say this? You know, when we talk about marriage, we're talking about the biblical definition of marriage. The biblical definition of marriage is marriage between a man and a woman. Okay? And don't be ashamed of that. It's okay to say amen. Okay? And here's the reason why. The reason why is because marriage between a man and a woman actually require the skills and the sensitivities. All the brothers say sensitivities. Come on, that's a good word for the day, brothers. Okay? Okay, marriage between man and a woman, okay, they require the skills and the sensitivities for the development, not just of healthy relationships, but of healthy communities. Our kids learn how to relate to other people by the way mom and dad relate to one another. And the dynamics of relating to one another bring about a whole understanding of how it is to actually get along with people as we grow up and in, you know, and try to get along in this world. There's things that you learn about your mom and there's things that you learn about your dad that makes you more effective in actually getting along on the planet. And so if you are a single person, dial in. Okay, because you can even learn things about negotiating in business from this. Okay, how many know husbands and wives do a lot of negotiating? You see, if you're here and you're dating or wanna date, pay attention. Because today we're going to be talking about what is foundational to not just healthy relationships, but to marriage itself. And so, what is it that you do the most when you get married? You ready? You communicate. Everybody say communicate. Yes, communication is the lifeline of marriage and all relationships. You realize you can't have a friend if you don't, everyone, communicate. So when you are a good, strong, healthy communicator, then you have friends. But when you don't know how to communicate, then it's harder to have friends. And so we're going to be dialing into communication because communication is what we do the most when we get married. And here's what's interesting about this. So in the Bible, there's like four or five very significant passages about marriage. And they cover different things. But today we're going to be coming from 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm not going to read that to you yet. But I'm going to tell you what 1 Peter chapter 3 actually focuses on, and it will focus on the title of the message today, is the tone of marriage. The tone of marriage. So I was asking about this because I've noticed, I think it's people like maybe 55 and up, maybe I'm wrong, but I was asking in the office and they were saying, yeah, I think so. I've noticed that people 55 and up, they are into loud ringtones. You know what I'm saying? So when their phone rings, you know, dun, 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 you're like, oh, snap, what is that? Right? Or, you know, if a woman is married and when her husband calls, you know, the Gloria Gaynor song comes, I will survive if that comes on. Right? That's problems right there. Here's my question to you. What's the tone of your marriage? Because every marriage has a ringtone. You see? Every marriage has a vibe to it. What is the music of your home? The music of our home is determined by our communication. And so does it sound like a horror movie? You know? And by the way, some questions you're not supposed to answer today, okay? It's rhetorical, right? What does it sound like in your house? It's very, very important as we look at this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? This passage of Scripture will bring up words that to the modern mind, to the anti-authority mind, you might even find some of these words offensive. The word submission, the word obedience, the word respect, you know, the word co-heir, or even, hey, you better watch out, otherwise heaven will be closed over you. That's what I'm going to read to you in a moment. But here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to not think in a shallow way. I want you to think in a big picture way, in more of a spiritually mature way, because that is the intent of the writer. What Peter was talking about is the tone or the overall vibe of your relationship. By the way, if you're married, could I see how many married people are in the room? Nice, raise your hands nice and high. Let's go. Yeah. Come on. Praise God. Lots of married folks here. Amen. We're going to pray for our marriage, but we're going to pray for ourselves, because whether you're married or not, God wants you to be a good communicator. Okay? God wants us all to be good communicators, and we can learn so much from this passage. So 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read just 2 verses and then jump to 7, especially because of time. So the Bible says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, by the way, your homework is to go home and read all of this later. This is definitely a message you want to revisit, but let's keep going. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you. Some translations say co-heirs, equal heirs with you, of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So let me talk to you for a moment about what I was just mentioning, then I want to pray very quickly here. So let's take weaker partner, right? What does weaker partner mean, right? Here's what it means. It points to the physical and social vulnerabilities in the first century context, okay? In the first century context, as women are can be vulnerable even now, but in those days, the level of vulnerability was exceeding and abundant. And he was talking about, look, basically, and I'll get to this, he was saying, look, be mindful of the fact that they need to be honored in a certain way. Okay? So listen, Peter immediately, look, he says, it's not a lesser value. Peter immediately balances it. They are heirs with you, equal standing before God. The tone is mutual honor so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So any man who doesn't want to honor a woman in the biblical context, you may as well not pray. Because that woman is God's daughter. Somebody say amen. Like, this is deep. This is powerful. This is, I want to use the word cosmic. You understand? Guys, the next time you go talk to a girl, remember that is God's daughter. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. And so in the context of all of that, we're talking about how to relate to one another, how to communicate with one another. And I want to pray just a moment. Father, move upon our hearts now, single people, married people. God, young people, Father, move upon our hearts and open us up to receive truth. Truth is what sets us free. Truth is what strengthens and empowers us. So help us to receive this truth, and especially every marriage. Strengthen every marriage by your mighty power. Do these things, Lord. We're leaning on you. We're trusting you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen, communication is of paramount importance, and here's why. In a national study of divorcing parents, the two most common reasons cited, right, for divorce were they were growing apart, 55%, and not able to talk together, 53%. Okay? Why is communication so important? It's because if you don't communicate your love for one another, it suffocates. It dies. Love is something that is alive. And the Bible says, love one another. You know, someone's pointing out to me, it's like we're supposed to love one another. And people get married because they love one another. But after you get married because you love one another, you have to keep liking one another. Right? What is this about? What is communication about? Communication is about communicating so you keep liking one another. And then because you like one another, then love can be fed. And you'll see how I'm going to make that point. Listen to this. During conflict, stable couples keep about a 5-to-1. Everybody say 5-to-1. 5-to-1. 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions. I was like, oh, snap, this is real challenging. So the next time you're having a lovely fellowship with your spouse, more intense, just remember, anytime you say something negative, you got 5 positive. I was like, Lord, how do you do that? But he'll help us. Amen. God's going to help us. Amen. Amen. Okay. So now, so that we could understand this whole kind of massive, massive, important topic of communication, I want to put a chart in front of you that highlights communication a little more deeply than just you and I say, oh, communication. So in marriage, the foundation of marriage, it actually has 3 layers, okay? The top layer is the layer of communication, okay? Let me tell you why. It's because even though we say things like, oh, love at first sight, how do you know? You can see someone and say, I love how they look. You can see someone and say, I've been dreaming about that girl. you know, since the beginning of time. I knew I was going to marry that girl. You know what I mean? Yes, all of that, that's fine. But you don't love until you communicate. You see? Communication is the key to love, because someone might look great, but the minute you talk to them, you're like, I don't like them. Right? So communication is crucial, but here's what happens. People start talking, and if their communication is healthy, they start dating. What happens through healthy communication is trust is built. Good communication is always building trust. And when trust is built, now people can fall in love. Because she says, I trust this guy. I'm going to open up my heart to him. Guys, if you want to win a girl's heart, here's the way it goes. You have to be able to communicate and demonstrate that you're worthy to be trusted. Then she can open up her heart to say, okay, I'm open to falling in love. This is the way it is. This is the way it starts. And this is the way it continues. So no matter how long you're married, if something happens, and we'll get to this, but if something happens and you stop trusting one another, when trust is low, communication is low. When trust and communication are low, then love gets starved. So what does it mean that we grew apart? We grew apart means that communication and trust broke down. Okay? Everybody following so far? Okay. So now, I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about the tone. Husbands, wives, submit to your husbands, right? Husbands, you know, be sensitive, be considerate of your wives. Why does it have that? It has that because it's highlighting the need of your spouse. Okay? Your spouse is different than you, right? There's a book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Let me tell you, that is true, right? All the brothers, how many would say amen? That's true. Amen. You know, it's a unique thing because it's like, you're like, man, I really, really love this woman, but I can't understand her. You know why? It's because we're different. And what Peter is telling us is that we have to learn how to speak a different language, okay? So wives have to learn how to speak the language of respect, next slide, right? Men have to learn how to speak the language of security. If a woman makes a man feel respected, she's got him, okay? Now, if a man makes a woman feel secure, he's got a really good chance. You never know. It's funny how the odds are tipped in different favors, but yeah, that's a whole 3-hour seminar right there. But basically, if you want to get married, I'm going to tell you in advance, here's the key. Learn how to speak the language, if you're a man, of security. Ladies, if you want to have a happy, healthy marriage, learn how to speak the language of respect. That's what this is talking about. Have that tone, and if you can communicate with the right tone. Have you ever gone to a foreign country and even learned 3 sentences, and you say them like, you want to ask for water and bread, per favore, acqua naturale. You know, you say something, and they're like, good try. You know what I'm saying? So it is worth it. Whenever you try to learn how to communicate, there's always a reward to it. You will be rewarded for it if you make the effort. But if you don't make the effort, then you will suffer consequences. I mean, this is the truth of the way relationships go. So men need to feel respected. Women need to feel secure. It's an incredible thing. A man could be so successful. All right? I've said this. I've been at this over 30 years. I've said this, and every time I've seen so many. A man can be so successful in every way, but if his wife doesn't respect him, he feels like a loser. You know? And then a woman who doesn't feel cherished and honored and have a deep sense of security, it doesn't matter what you surround her with. She's just not good in her heart. Okay? And it's all about tone. Everybody say tone. We're learning about tone today. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. Look, I got a lot to say. I got like 5 hours to get into like 20 minutes. Right? So I'm going to fly through this, but I want you to pay real attention. So there's two kind of strong movements to this passage. The first movement is addressing the tone and language of marriage, which I already started to go into. So ladies, because it says it speaks to the wives first, right? We're gonna talk about learning the language of respect. What is the tone of respect? What does respect sound like? Okay, here it is as follows. Number one, if you want to speak respectfully to your husband, then start with acknowledging his role of responsibility. Acknowledge his, by the way, I want to give points to every man for not saying amen right now. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something, ladies. They wanted to say, let's go. But they didn't. They were just chill. So bravo. Come on, let's clap for the man. Bravo. Yes. That was also wisdom, right? So if you acknowledge his role of responsibility and leadership, it enables him to shoulder more. But if you want to put more responsibility, you come in, I need you to do this, I don't want you to do that, I don't want you to do that, but you walk front door and you're not even acknowledging what he's already carrying, I'm going to tell you right now, right? When we fail to acknowledge a man's role of responsibility, you may have the conversation, you may have his presence, but you don't have him. Okay? Responsibility is a big deal. You know, I was joking about this. So Pastor Edgar used to be on staff. He's in Mexico City now. When I met Pastor Edgar, he was single. He worked in D.C. And Pastor Edgar was by far the best dressed man I knew. And his closet had the nicest, I mean, Hugo Boss and this and that. He had the designers. He had everything. He was so organized. I was like, whoa. And this dude was like Mr. GQ himself, right? But then he gets married. He gets married. It's like, I don't know, she was like 2 months go by, she got pregnant, the baby started coming, and I'm telling you, all of the years after that, I never even saw him buy a pair of sneakers one time. Like, Mr. GQ, no more GQ. Why? What do you call that? You call that responsibility, right? You call that they need to eat. They need the ballerina shoes and whatever it is. That's what you call responsibility. Amen. Right? Guys, feel it. I always tell them premarital counseling, and I got to get going, but if I keep a little late, just hang out with me. Just, you know, don't worry. Your lunch will be fine. I always say in premarital counseling, you know, there's a difference. When people get married, the guy's standing there. He's got his tux on. She comes down. She's so beautiful and dressed. And she gets there. And something starts to happen for the guy. Okay? He's about to say, I do, and all that kind of stuff. There's this loud noise going on that nobody can hear. But the men know it. If you've been married, you know it. And here's what happens. He's putting the ring on. He's about to kiss her, the whole deal. And there's something like this. It goes like this. Right? And it just starts coming down. And he's about to kiss and goes like this. Boom. What do you call that? responsibility. He knows I am. Come on, brothers. You could say amen to that. Am I right? Did you feel that? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Such chickens in the house. It's real. And let me tell you something. When we honor a man's sense of responsibility, we're building him up. You will get so much more out of him. If you just honor his sense of responsibility. If you come from a home where it was like in style to belittle men, don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. Don't do that to your man, ladies. Amen? Now, right in line with that, avoid making demands and sarcasm. You know? Avoid making demands. There's more than one way to ask for a washing machine. You know, use this illustration so many times over the years, but you can say, honey, you know, the kids' clothes are so dirty and we can't get this done and blah, blah, blah. Or you could say, I've had it. I ain't washing or cooking anymore unless you get me. We'll get one today. I'm telling you right now, don't do it like that. Right? See? Come on. Preach. Just go the responsibility. How are we going to keep the kids' clothes clean? What do you think we need to do, honey? Now you're using wisdom. You know, if he tried to fix the sink and he broke it and made a bigger mess, don't be sarcastic. Say, I think we're hitting home today. Yes. Hallelujah. Here's the last thing. Appreciate his efforts. Come on, everyone. Verbally. This is on both sides. We're starting on the lady's side first. But look, when it comes to communication, never say, oh, they know. You know, I'm sitting out for lunch. We're going to spend like 2 hours in here, right? It's like, it's never, oh, they know. Okay, it's way more powerful when we say it. Okay, this practice, you'll notice just slight adjustments in the way we communicate. It opens things up. So that is the tone of respect. Now we have the tone of security. Okay, this is a completely different world. Okay, and the thing is, guys, is that it's a world that we don't necessarily live in, and so we have to be really mindful. This is number one. We must acknowledge feelings before solutions. Acknowledge feelings before solutions. You know what I've noticed, and I want to give every man advice. When you stifle by failing to acknowledge how your wife feels about something, you are stifling the emotional health of your whole house. If you keep putting down or belittling how your wife feels, then guess what? She's going to stop feeling. And if she stops feeling, you got a dead house. Because you can't provide for your house what she can provide. Okay, you just don't have it built in you to be warm and nurturing like that and gracious like that. And look, my wife has made my home, and with our kids, she made it a happy home. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many have noticed that if dad goes away, the kids are great? But if mom goes away, they're like, when are you coming back, mom? Hurry up, where are you? It's like, I've been gone 65 minutes. No, get back here. I got like a tyrant over here. Do this, do that, get this done. You know what I mean? Moms are different. We must acknowledge how they feel, okay? And then we can move to solutions. I've learned over, you know, there's the funny thing about this one. It's like for a man, you know it. Like you said, yeah, that's true, that works. But every time you go into it, you forget it. And you jump right to solution. And the minute you're in the solution and you know, oh, this is not going well right now, right? You're like, cosa más grande, I did it again. We have to slow down, we have to think. Her feelings, the way you validate her is just by honoring her feelings. You're saying, you're a co-equal, okay, you're my equal. How you feel about this is very, very important, okay? And I'm gonna honor that. In terms of, this is an interesting thing because in terms of, they can send me a keyboard player and I'm gonna try to rush through the rest of this, but not too much. So in terms of the whole dynamic, it's funny how sometimes if we'll just stop and listen to how they feel, instead of just prescribing, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll just get this done, just do that. I don't really want to hear about this, just do this, right? It's funny how sometimes once they process how they feel with you, right, a lot of times they already know what they're supposed to do. They don't even need our advice. You know what I mean? But a home is out of balance if there's no feeling, okay? A home without feeling is unhealthy. And I want to say this. This is the perfect moment to say this, okay? Every Christian home should be filled with warmth and affection. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Right? Every Christian home should be filled with warmth and affection. So hug each other. Hold hands, you know, kiss her on the mouth in front of the kids. You know, Pastor Dave told me about that when he was a kid. His dad used to chase his mom around the island in the kitchen. She'd be like, get away from me, get away from me. Let me tell you something, that's healthy. Okay? Come on, somebody say amen. That's healthy, right? Stop blushing, like, come on, let's be grown-ups about this. So, but if you don't acknowledge feelings, everything starts to gradually shut down. Okay? So this is a big deal. Number two, address the issue of concern as a, read that word, everyone, priority, not as a nuisance. So now I'm going to go real fast past this so we don't have any breakouts right in the room. Because when she asks you over and over and over, and you're like, it's just not that important. You're like, okay. You know, you're saying something by that. You know, you're saying something by that. And it starts to bring shutdown. So it's not a nuisance. Here's the challenge of life. This is the challenge of life. You work all day and you feel like I fulfilled my responsibility. But then you walk through the door and what smashes you in the face? More responsibility, right? And one of the things you have to learn as a man is like, there's more important things, not just work. There's more important things. And if she's honoring you and respecting you, then part of the way you honor her is you say, no, there's more important things, you know? And I just can't go sit in front of Netflix. I gotta go fix something, you know? Just do what I do. It's like, I can't fix anything. I'm sorry, we gotta, you know. No, that's a bad idea, bad concept. So that should have been for a men's meeting, right? Okay. Here's the last thing. Remember, say it verbally, Here's the other side of that. Act out. Everybody say, act out. Act out your support. Act it out. Go give a hug. Go say it. Go do it. Go show it. Act out. A big part of having a healthy marriage really comes down to being able to make important what's important to your spouse and acting out on it. It's like, it's important to them, it's important to me. Is it really important to me in my own sense? Maybe not, but if it's important to them, it's important to me. How many would say amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that is the tone I want to put. I want to talk to you now, because, and we'll race through this, but you have to understand that because marriage is the basic building block of society, Satan is always attacking marriage. You see, always attacking marriage. By attacking marriage, he attacks everything. College, what's being taught at colleges, what's happening in politics, what's happening in schools, every place, everywhere. Just by attacking marriage, he attacks everything. Because it's the building block of society. And so this is also telling us, you know, that there are attacks and maintenance of marriage. And I want to talk about those attacks very, very quickly here, because you have to maintain healthy communication. It has to be maintained. You can start out well, but then you can fall into bad habits. Okay, so here's how the devil attacks, right? So these are the kind of the four horsemen that attack a marriage's tone. Number one, criticism. Everybody say criticism. When you have in your head nonstop criticism of your spouse, guess what? The devil's attacking you. Okay? Don't allow your mind and your heart to be filled with criticism of your spouse. Okay? Just stop it in the name of Jesus. Because what you have is the devil's in your head. So if you have a problem, communicate it maturely instead of doing this endless criticism on the inside. And then what comes forward are insults and name calling and all of these things that only hurt and injure. So do not criticize them on the inside, because then it fleshes out into criticizing and name calling and injuring with words on the outside. Here's the thing. Satan majors in misunderstanding. He majors in misunderstanding. Okay? So here's the second thing. Contempt. Everybody say contempt. What is contempt? One psychologist said contempt is the greatest predictor of divorce. Okay? Satan doesn't need a couple to fall into somebody for there to be an affair. If he can get a foothold of contempt, he can still destroy the marriage. You see, contempt means like there's this low key anger towards one another that just keeps rising and rising and rising. You know, and I want to encourage you, just do a survey, okay? Do a survey of the tone. Yeah, you see some people, they're married and they, come on, look at Wale, he's like leaning over on her, right? He's like, they're listening to the sermon, but he's like this. You know, that says something to you. Come on, let's go for Wally. That's what I'm talking about, right? It's like some people, they're like, I want to be as far from them as possible. That's a reflection of contempt. Hold hands, right? And if you can't hold hands, stop and figure out why. Right? Hug each other. You got to want to go out on dates. You got to want to do all those things. I'm going to give you a verse in a minute. There's no place for contempt. Ongoing. You might have a disagreement, but this disagreement is different from contempt. Remember, it goes back to, oh, I love him, I just can't stand him. That doesn't work. You see, it doesn't work, and we have to fight against those things. And one of the things that happens in contempt is we start to expect, we play the mind reading game. Okay? When you get contempt inside of you, you just start to, it's like you're getting angry about stuff that they don't even know. And I was talking to a young married, and he said to me, you know, I said to my wife, well, I didn't know that. And she said, well, you should know it. It's like, well, how does he know it if you don't tell him? Right? So don't play the mind, don't play the you should know. Be mature and say, this is how I feel about this. Because otherwise, contempt starts to grow. Couple, almost done here, right? Defensiveness. Defensive communication. You should listen to yourself, you know? So, yeah, hey, excuse me, you dropped something. Hey, I didn't steal that. I said, you dropped something, right? In marriage, right? And in relationships as well, we get to the point that it doesn't matter what they say, we feel like we're being attacked. And then we're always listening in a defensive mode, right? You cannot communicate if you are defensive. I'm gonna put the chart back up in a moment, and we'll be closing right now. But I'm telling you right now, if you feel defensive all the time, then what you're hearing is not reality. By the way, whoever is defensive, you know, the toughest thing is to say to someone, I didn't say that. And you're acting like they did say it. You say, no, that's not what I said. Okay? This word means this. You know? You dropped that. You know, and we've all experienced that. I want to pray in a moment about that especially. Because when you are defensive, it means that you've been carrying stuff for a long time. Okay, one more, stonewalling. So stonewalling is the least effective, the least godly form of relationship. You know what stonewalling means? It means that you stop communicating. So you might, right? Go for the ringtone right there. So, you know, sometimes when you're having a disagreement, it's wise to take a break. Just take a break, guys, right? Let things cool off, give it a couple of hours, whatever you agree upon. But stonewalling is never of God. You know, stonewalling means, it means you're in a house with the person that you were put together by God, and then you say, I have no communication for you. It is the coldest, most hurtful form of being with people. Okay? And there's got to be a way to say, I'm so angry. I'm so upset. I can't talk right this second. But to go hours and days. And not, that's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because no, everybody say no stonewalling. You look, even with your friends, if you're one of those people, you just stonewall your friends. I'm telling you, you're not a good friend. Talk to them, but no stonewalling. The enemy wants to get, if you're stonewalling your spouse or a friend, you're under the attack of the enemy. you're playing right into his game. You know, if you're allowing contempt if you've gotten so defensive or critical, the enemy is attacking you. And listen now, just about done, right? So, I have done this over the years, so many different times in counseling. People come in, one person sitting here, one person sitting there, and I let them talk it out. And after, as they talk it out, the steam, like I put the fan on and the steam just sucks out all that. All the air goes, and once it's like starting to chill, I said, would you guys do me a favor? I said, sit right here. You guys are not enemies. Okay? You know what? Your spouse is not the enemy. If you're watching online, your spouse is not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Okay? Life is hard for everyone. And even if they're not doing well, they're not your enemy. The enemy is the enemy. So I will say this to you, one more image and then a verse. So look, when the enemy attacks you, what's he attacking? He's trying to crack. He's putting cracks in the level of trust. Little crack here, little crack there, little crack here, right? Criticism, jab, jab. Some people are boxers. They jab, jab, jab. They say, oh, why are you jabbing your spouse so much? Like, oh, it's just a jab. No. Jabs result in lots of cracks. And then all of a sudden, the person starts to think, they don't care about me. They don't value me. They don't love me. And then when they get into that state where trust is cracked, then no matter what good thing you say, they can't receive it. Right? So here's goal. We'll close now. If there's cracks in your marriage right now, you need to let the Holy Spirit repair that layer. Okay? Because trust is low. Communication is low. Without communication, love dies. It's suffocated. It needs the water of communication to be alive. And so, last thing and then we'll close. Here's the secret of the best marriages. You ready? The best marriages take advantage of the power of forgiveness. How many are thankful that as Christian marriages, we have the blood of Jesus? How many would say amen? We need the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. For he has made the two groups one, including in marriage, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of everyone, hostility. Jesus came to tear down the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus wants us to be able to say, forgive me, I forgive you, and wrap our arms around one another. How many believe that is the way of God, the kingdom of God? Come on, clap for that one, guys, please.